forgot when I was doing the communion, I forgot to turn my mic on. I don't know if you heard me or not, but normally my voice throws pretty well, so I think you probably heard me. But anyway, hope that's better now. Hope you can hear what I'm saying this time. Again, thank you again. It's really good to come here. I really do love coming to this place now. That's so friendly and just making new friends. And I see the numbers are looking good. I really feel very encouraged here at the moment. So hope you are in feeling encouraged as well. So this morning, it's just one verse I want to bring to you. And it's from Micah, and it's chapter 7, verse 18. It's only one verse, but I'll explain a little bit more in a moment. And the word is, it's just this. It's, who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Great words, isn't it? Who is a God like you? Now, I just want to bring some quite simple message this morning. It's just about who is God? What's he like? What sort of God is it that we have here this morning? Whose presence that we're in? I mean, what I'm going to tell you is all that you will know already, but I just think sometimes we need to be reminded of certain things. And we can come to church, as we said, on Sundays. We take communion. We get sort of very blasé about things, or we can hear the message preached week by week. We say, yeah, I know all that, and whatever. And we can still go out, perhaps not being affected by this precious word of God. So I hope this morning, it's just going to just bring you some thoughts, again, which I'm sure you know, which you might think, yes, I've forgotten about that. Yeah, I'm glad he said that this morning. You may say, I'm glad he did, wish he hadn't come. I don't know what you say, but whatever you say, I hope that you're going to be blessed in some way this morning. So again, forgive me if it's very plain and simple, but just so, when I was preparing for this, I thought, oh, yes, God, you are like this, you are like that. So again, it just says, who is a God like you? And to start with, Psalm 24, at the end of it, talks about that he is the King of glory, that our God is the King. We have a newish king now on the throne in the UK here. Our King has been on the throne for eternity. He is the King of kings. He is absolutely everything. And sometimes we can put Jesus in a box and say, well, yeah, you may be king, but, we can forget quite often just how a mighty king that he is. So he's the King of glory. And it says here, who is like you, who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions. And you do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. And that mercy we have seen as we took bread and wine this morning, as Jesus died on that cross and for what he's done for us. And then as we look at Psalm 30, I'm not going to look at these things, just one or two verses I'm going to bring to us, but Psalm 30, 139 is my favourite psalm. If you know it, it's all about what God knows about us. It's an amazing, absolutely amazing psalm. He knew us from the very moment of conception. When people had sex and a baby was born. You know what I mean? You've got to be so careful what you say. Okay, you know what I'm saying. But, from the very moment of conception, God was there. He knew about us. He knew as we grew in our mother's womb. And then when we was born, he knew the day that we was going to be born. He knows everything about us from the day of conception to the very last day that we breathe our last breath on this earth and we go to be with Jesus if we know him. He knows everything about us. And, I think, as you said, Jan and I, we've been celebrating 52 years next month. And you think, good grief, I think I know her inside out. Pretty much do, I think. But I'm sure there's still things that I don't know about her. Still things I didn't know about her when I first met her. Although we've been married for 52 years, we knew each other for 4 years before that. So really, it's like 56, really. And I'm still going strong. I'm just so thankful to God. He's been so good. He's been so gracious. He has blessed us in so many wonderful ways. And we are so thankful to God in his goodness to us. But God knew about that. He knew the day I was going to ask her to go out with me. I knew asked her to go out with me because I fancied her. She wore a short skirt. That's the only reason I asked her out. That is true. I mean, this is before I become a Christian. I saw Jana. Oh, she's a bit of all right. And I went and I said, are you, would you go out with me? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, no, it's all I want. Bible basher. I love football. I don't know about football, about God. But then God had his hand upon me, and he knew from that minute, that one day, or he knew from the beginning, that one day I would become a Christian. There's nothing that he doesn't know about you and me. Other people may not know these little secrets about us, but God knows. God knows about us. And then he's that all-knowing God. There's everything that he knows about us. Read Psalm 139. It's so brilliant. I've spoken on it many times. I think about it many times. And it still just delights me even now as I read that psalm. And our God is a creating God. You know, I'm a gardener. Not. I hate gardening with a passion, but I love gardens. I love being in gardens and seeing the trees change colour, the spring and the autumn, winter, and all this stuff. I just love it. And again, you know, you see the wonder of our earth. You see the wonder of our universe. And I say this every time I go anywhere. Get the NASA app. Get the NASA app on your phone. And every day you get a couple of pictures sent to you of all what's going on out in that galaxy. They're amazing, amazing pictures. Today, it was just one. It was in Chicago. There was two big buildings, and the sun was coming up just in the middle of it. Deep golden sun. It was beautiful. But every day, there's big pictures, you know, of what's going on. And I look at those. That's our God who created that. It didn't happen just by chance. It didn't happen, you know, oh, well, there was a big bang, and it just happened. I just cannot accept that. It happened because God was there at the beginning. He is the creating God. He's created everything that we see around us. He's created you and me. What an amazing job he's made, isn't he, of us. Yeah, we can be a bit grotty and sometimes and not good and illness and goodness knows what, whatever. But overall, we've been created in God's image. You know, God has blessed us. He is such an amazing creating God. You know, when you look at each other, just be thankful for each other. That as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can enjoy life now, but we'll be enjoying life together in eternity, in his presence, to spend eternity with him. Does that excite you? Yes, of course it does. Well, I hope it does. It excites me. So we have that in all creating God. We have a faithful God. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3 it says, but the Lord is faithful. Has God ever let you down? Never. Our God has never, ever, never will let us down. If we look at promises in the Bible, or we see other promises, other things, if God makes a promise, he will be faithful to that. That's, great is thy faithfulness. We're going to have that at our funeral. I just thought I'd throw that in. You know, it's just so good. God has been so faithful to us that whenever our day comes, when we go to be with the Lord, and our funeral, we're going to sing, great is thy faithfulness, and how great thou art, and also the old rugged cross. We've got it all sorted out already. Yeah. Hope it's not going to happen yet, but that's what we've already got planned, because they're going to bring glory to God because of his faithfulness and because of what he's done for each and every one of us. So our God is faithful. And then in Acts 9:34, it talks about our healing God. It says, Jesus Christ heals you. Now, I know I've told you this a number of times, and I can't believe how many, it's nearly six or 7 years now. I had a macular hole in my left eye, and all of a sudden, everything was a bit blurry. Cutting a long story short, I went to see the doctor, and he said, right, you're going to come in and have an operation. We've got to the day of the operation, and he said, right, before I'm doing it, he put something in my eye, checked it, and he said, right, he said, but I want you to go and have another, I want you to go over the other side of the hospital and get a picture taken of my left eye. Takes a picture of my left eye, goes back, giving the, whatever the pictures, whatever it is. He says, there's no hole. It's come together again. What? And there's me shaking like a leaf, because I thought I could be having this operation any given time. They'd already prepped me to a point, you know. And at the same time, that morning, in the paper that we have, on a Monday morning, there is always a verse of scripture, where the letters are. And that particular day it says, Jesus Christ heals you. Amen. Look there, I thought, oh, that's brilliant. I wonder who that's for. Duh. And next minute I get x-rayed and my eye is bad, you know. And I knew it had been healed, because if I was driving at night and went headlights, you see headlights, they was all double. You always see double headlights. That night I just saw single headlights. And God had healed my eye. I was so pleased. The thought of having that operation really just didn't do me much good, you know. But God had healed me. God is a healing God. Now, I know sometimes he doesn't always heal, and we pray for many people, and I'm sure you have as well. You know, so sometimes God heals, sometimes he doesn't. You know, that's a whole new story and thing we could talk about, but, you know, but he can, and he does heal. And I can prove it, and I know many people here probably can prove, yes, that God has healed us at certain times. And other times he hasn't. As I say, it's one of those strange things, but I don't know, you know. But I know that from my point of view, God healed me. And in Ephesians, it talks about God meets all our needs. And it said, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say about all our wants. I got lots of wants, lots and lots of wants. But I know my needs, God has provided us. Many years ago, again, it must be, 30 years ago, I suppose, when we first started to buy our house. That was in the days when, all of a sudden, the interest rate went up to 15, 16%. A lot of you youngsters wouldn't know all about that, but that was going back some time. But for us oldies, I remember that. And we was buying our house, and we thought, no, we just started buying it, you know, at a low rate of interest. And we thought, well, that's it, we're going to have to give the house back. We can't live, we won't be able to, you know, what do we do? So that day, we just prayed about it. Lord, we just leave this with you. And unbeknown to me, I didn't know anything about it, where I worked on the, where was I at that time? Reigate and Banstead Council. I was a storekeeper at that time, that's right. And all of a sudden, we had a really, 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 really big pay increase. What? I can't believe that. And so our extra mortgage rate that it was, it paid for all that and covered that even more. Amazing. So God provided. And without, you know, still, again, you know, we still got to look to God. I mean, all right, I know we're pensioners now. We look to our pensions from our company and they take 300 quid as well. That annoyed me a bit on our heating bill, but there again, that's another thing, you know. But God has still graciously blessed us in so many ways. You know, we still got to do our bit. We can't just sit back and do nothing and say, oh, well, the money will come in, it'll come in. Yeah, you know, we've still got to go to work, we've still got to do our things and whatever it is. But God does meet our needs, not always our wants, although sometimes he does that as well, of course. And I know, again, another story, well, what about the millions of starving in the world? Again, you know, it's another thing, but, you know, again, where we go on that. But I know from our point of view, in 52 years, and we, on the 1st of January the 1st, every year, we actually quote this verse to God. We say, Lord, we're just giving this verse to you. We're just giving our lives to you this week. Just meet our needs, that we will be able to pay our bills and do whatever it is that we need to do. And in all honesty, that we have never, ever, ever been in debt. Now that's, again, you know, a lot of people are in debt, and I know with what's going on at the moment, I can understand that as well. But I'm just talking about us, for us, our point, that God has met our needs. He's been so gracious to us. And also, God is a God of peace. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, doesn't the world want peace at this moment? Watch the news. Oh, sometimes it can be so depressing, can't it? You know, you look at it, you see what's going on. Yes, there's so many different peace. I mean, you know, God gives us the peace of God, the inner peace. Do we know that inner peace of God? You know, when we're going through a problem and there's a worry, there may be illness or death or sickness or unemployment or whatever, you know, and we can start to really, really worry about these things, and we just lose the peace of God. And the last two or three couple of months, I've had two or three dentist appointments, and I hate the dentist. They scare the living daylights out of me. When I know I've got to go, I mean, I've got to go this coming Wednesday, but it's only for a very quick 10 minutes, just have a quick look at one tooth that they done the other week, where they took a tooth out. They took that tooth out about 6-7 weeks ago. And for 2 weeks before that, my stomach was churning. I didn't eat a lot. Kept waking up in the middle of the night thinking about it. I ain't going to have a tooth out, for goodness sake. But, it just, people say, well, peace of God. I said, yeah, but he's not really giving me much peace at the moment on this, on my tooth, because I'm petrified. But, and I've got to go and have another tooth out. I come back off holiday as well, but there we go. But you know what I'm saying? But when we've got those situations and problems, God does give us an inner peace. Sometimes I wonder where it comes from. Yes, I know, in actual fact, having said that, the last two times I've been in, last week I had a big filling in that one down the bottom there. Too big. And while I was actually sitting, laying there, when I go in, my hands are white, they are freezing cold, my stomach's churning. The last two times I've been there, my hands went completely back to normal warmth. They weren't white. My stomach was quite okay. And normally I go to the loo before I go to the doctor, dentist as well, but I was pretty okay on that as well this time, And I really felt a sense of God's peace as I laid. You've got two people there and they're sticking stuff in my mouth and goodness knows what. And I actually sensed God's peace at that time, because it wasn't my peace. That never, ever, ever happens. But I felt God's peace on my life that day. May it be that as we are going through problems, worries, whatever it is, worried about what's happening in the world, that the peace of God transcends all understanding. Don't understand it, but it says it and it happens. Let's really believe that peace of God. And what about the power of God? So often we say, oh, woe is me. I'm nothing. And all this sort of stuff. Yet, to a point, we are nothing. But we are something special because of that cross. Because of what Jesus has done on that cross, which we celebrated when we took bread and wine. Because of that, we are something special. And we have peace. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. We are powerful people. Do you believe that? Not too sure. God does use us. We can be powerful people. The things that we can do. The people that we can help. So often we can say, I am nothing, to a point, as I say, we are nothing. But God says he gives us a spirit of power. Don't let the devil say, you are nothing, you can't do anything, you're just a waste of space. Because the devil would try to say that to us, and I don't believe that's true. I believe for each one of us here this morning, as we go out from this place this morning, as we go out into this coming week, that God can use us in mighty ways. Really, really believe that. It may be that you're going to be in situations where people, pray for healing, help somebody, bless somebody, do something. That's all powerful stuff, because it's defeating the devil all the time, because the devil has been defeated. On the day that Jesus died on that cross, the devil rubbed his hands in glee. Yes, I've won. And then on resurrection day, Jesus rose from the dead. Death has been conquered, been defeated. And if we are Christians, that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus on that resurrection morning lives in you and me. If that's not power, I don't know what is. There is peace. So let's rubbish ourselves. Don't let the world, don't let the devil say to us, we're just nothing. We are something. We are special. We are powerful people. And as individuals and as a church here, God can do mighty things through you. And don't let the devil ever say to you, you can't. Well, let him say it, but we can say, get out of it. We are something special. Now let's believe that. We can live those absolutely amazing lives that Jesus wants us to live. So we are a people of power. Hebrews 11:5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And how often do we go through life and we feel, God, you're a million miles away. I can't feel you. I don't know where you are. You just seem up there somewhere and there's nothing there. But Jesus says in Hebrews and also in Joshua, it says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And if you're going through problems and doubts, worries, whatever it may be, Jesus is there. We don't have to go through any situation on our own. God is always there with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. So if this week is looking at the moment, maybe a bit of a rough week, I'm not sure what's going to happen, and am I going to get through this? Give it to God. And as we go through this week, God will be there. And he will protect us. He will do whatever it is that he needs to do in our lives to bring glory and honour to our amazing Saviour. And then just very quickly, just that we have a God of love who's a redeeming God, and we, where death and all these things have come, we know that there's redemption, there's resurrection through our life. We only got to read through the Gospels and just see what Jesus done when we see him conquering the grave, raising again. And because we love him, because he is that love, because he loves us so much, for God so loved, put your name there. Put your name there. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life. That's what we have got. And that's why one day, if we love Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we're going to spend eternity with him. All those loved ones that have gone before us who love Jesus, we're going to see them again. Like we lost two children. One day we're going to see our two daughters again. And other people, that we've lost, family, loved ones and whatever. What a hope we have. The world doesn't have that. The world doesn't have that. Other religions don't have that. But the Bible says we have that. That's what we've got. We know we've got such a future here on earth, but our future is also in glory, to spend eternity with Jesus. Oh, mate, isn't that just amazing? We can get so much excitement from so many things in the world today. And there's nothing wrong being excited about what's going on in the world, good things, what's happening. But let's be excited because of what we are, who we are, and what our future is, because of what God has done for us. So again, we have an amazing God. And just to read that last verse again, what I said earlier. Who is a God like you? Who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. I hope that what I said this morning, it's things that I'm sure you know. I hope it just brought back again. Yes, I forgot about that. Let it just feed your soul. Just let it just go deep into you and go out of this place this morning on fire for God. Yes, it may be a rubbish week coming up this week. I hope it's not. But whatever happens, God's going to be there. We've conquered. You know, we're conquerors. We're powerful. You know, God's never going to leave us. You know, this is such an amazing God. Let's, as we come each week and as we meet together, whatever it is that God has led us into, whatever he's showing us to do, that we can go out living lives that above all glorifies the name of our glorious Saviour Jesus. May it be for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I met someone's son and made a contribution to the life. Those of you who got alive and recognized, and many of you also joined.
Okay, let's sing of exactly what Barry's just been sharing from the Word of God. Let's sing of this truth as we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. And freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said.